Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hey, the middle. We hear you're moving.
I think I'm going to cry.
No, you're not.
Well, where are we going to see one of the best sitcoms ever?
Thank you, Mommy.
Aww. You're so hilarious and heartfelt. Oh. And emotionally satisfying.
Dad, what's it like to be extremely satisfied?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Basically, everyone thinks you're the best.
Mind blown.
So tell us about this new night.
Put you down for Tuesdays?
Yeah, you bet your Axel heck.
No. Why you gotta turn everything into an excuse to hug me?
Season premiere of The Middle on its new night, Tuesday, October 11th on ABC.
All right, it's Dave Player on 720 WGN. So one of the funniest and most entertaining family comedies on television is ABC's The Middle, which will debut its eighth season this Tuesday at 7 Central. And it also airs every night on WGN-TV. Now, The Middle, to me, doesn't get the recognition it deserves or the Emmy Awards. Although, Neil, it was nominated for Outstanding Makeup for a Single Camera Series Non-Prosthetic in 2012. So congratulations.
We were all very proud of that. We were up all night.
But I'll tell you, it's one of the most underrated and best sitcoms on television. Actor Neil Flynn, who plays Mike Heck, was born on the south side of Chicago, grew up in Waukegan, attended Bradley University, cut his teeth in comedy at IO Chicago and Second City, and has appeared in such films as Major League, The Fugitive, Mean Girls, Indiana Jones, as well as TV series Seinfeld, NYPD Blue, and The Janitor for 8 seasons on Scrubs. And joining us tonight from the West Coast is Chicago's very own Neil Flynn. Neil, great to have you join us again.
Glad to be here, Dave. How are you?
I am terrific, and I got to tell you, you got to be as excited as I am that we are experiencing postseason Cubs baseball in Chicago, something we've been deprived of for a very long time.
I'm telling you, I think, I haven't counted it, but in my life, the Cubs might have had 5 winning seasons, let alone making the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, over 500.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is very exciting. And the strange thing, too, is feeling from the beginning of the year that they were going to go to the postseason.
Right. There's a level of confidence. So when I have that overconfidence, and I think most people in Chicago feel this way, it's exciting. But it's also nail biting because you just want to get to the end.
I know. Remember a few years ago, I suspect you might, when I guess some fan touched a foul ball.
Yeah.
There was some hubbub over it. Yeah, that whole thing. Before that happened, I almost picked up the phone to call a friend and say, it looks like it's going to happen.
You don't want to jinx it.
No, I can't.
No, I can't
assume it's going to go well because, no. But, I'm hopefully, what do you call it, something optimistic.
Cautiously. Yeah, you're totally right.
Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's the life of a Cub fan.
Now, I don't know if
I think growing up a Cub fan, I think it's a good thing for people because you learn very early not to expect very much out of life. Things are probably not going to go your way, but, let's try to have some fun while we're out.
Yeah, there's some good life lessons there, isn't there? Especially for these.
So.
I saw some grandmother being featured on WGN News, and she's in her, she's in her 90s and has never seen, she's like, I've been going to games since I was 5 years old. And, think about how long this woman has waited.
It's bordering on cruelty.
Yeah, it is bordering on cruelty. It's elder abuse. It is. Now, I don't know if you saw this week's Sports Illustrated, but it's very cool. You got to check it out. It looks like a turn-of-the-century magazine cover with this year's Cubs. It was actually a remake of a cover of a magazine called Sporting Life, which ended, back in the 20s. But it says Cubs win 1908, and then it's crossed off. And it says handwritten 2016 World Series with a caption that says a lot has changed since 1908, a time when the terms traffic light, World War, vitamins, and Wrigley Field had no meaning. And, of course, one phrase that made perfect sense that jars the ears now, world champion Chicago Cubs, on the cover of Sports Illustrated this week.
Well, there's going to be some people that don't like that idea very much.
Yeah, from a jinx.
Putting that on the cover.
Yeah, yeah.
From the jinx. Yeah. Well, that's cool. They've. My initial reaction to that is I wish they hadn't done that. But and I'm not superstitious at all. Let me get that out there. It's not. I don't think there's anything as a jinx. But just, you know, don't brag about something before it's happened.
Yeah, don't be overconfident. I'm like that, too. I'm not an overconfident guy. I want to wait till it happens to celebrate. When I see it, then I can celebrate it. Absolutely. Now, I know you're in the very beginnings of filming the season. Are you going to try to make it to a game?
You know, I was thinking about that, and people have asked me, and I don't think so. If it looks like an easy path to accomplish that, I would do it. But the way I look at it, I lived my whole life watching the Cubs on TV.
Yeah.
When we were kids, we would go to one game a year. Mm-hmm. And so being there isn't a big thing for me. It's I'm used to, you know, I was watching Jack Brickhouse announcing the Cubs on the black and white TV with the most rudimentary of graphics.
Yeah.
You know, typewritten white letters.
Bitmapped. Yeah.
And so that's how I know watching the Cubs is watching on TV. I wish I was watching on WGN, but it's okay. It's I watch it on TV unless something falls into my lap.
There you go. There you go. Well, you like this, and I know you know Chicago very well, but this is the Chicago way. It's reported this morning that more than 70% of Chicago aldermen are taking advantage of a lucrative perk to buy Cubs playoff tickets. For the second year in a row, aldermen and state lawmakers who represent Chicago have been offered the right to purchase playoff tickets because they approved the Cubs' Wrigley development plans and gave them rights to sell beer and wine in their open-air plazas, so they get some perks out of this.
Yes. Well, funny. In politics, there's a give and take.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, that's really jarring.
Now, yeah.
You know what? Go ahead.
Enjoy yourself. Now, talk about clinching in Chicago. You know, knowing your history here in the city and how you get into acting, you were at Waukegan East High School, and you and your speech team partner clinched a humorous duet acting title at the state tournament, and out of that, you got a scholarship to attend Bradley University.
Yeah, I did. A partial scholarship, but before that, there hadn't even been much talk about college at all. I didn't then and still don't have much of a plan. I'm not really good at that. But there's an example of something falling into your lap, the way the Cubs tickets might.
Yeah, it
was great. I'm glad I went to college. I probably just should have gone to a state university because, for the most part, a college education doesn't do anything for your prospects as an actor. But it was a good experience. It was a good experience growing up. And when I was done, I just kind of thought, well, I guess maybe I'll try to be an actor.
But you were engaged by the theater community, at least opened the door and got you on stage to think about it and see if you wanted to do it for a living, right?
Yes. And a friend from college was doing a play in Chicago, a very small scale, like a Park District play. And, you know, asked me if I wanted to come down and audition for it with her. And I did, and I got the part, and I was on the path. I didn't know the path was going to be such a long one.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about that before. Yeah,
I mean, I'm very grateful now.
Yeah.
Very grateful that things have worked out very well. But, you know, if someone told me you're going to be 40 before you get much of any kind of a break, I might have thought twice. I would have done it anyway, though.
Yeah.
I would have done it anyway.
You love what you do. Yeah.
It's all I can do.
Yeah, it's all you can do. Well, I know you went out to California, you know, after college. You followed a girlfriend out there, but you were back in the Windy City. And you kind of wandered into the IO Theater and eventually Second City and really started getting your feet wet in comedy. That's, you know, there's nothing better, you know, when you hear somebody's coming from those two organizations. I mean, that's the top end.
Mm-hmm. You say wandered into IO, and it was deciding to make that turn into that doorway turned out to be the best business decision I've ever made. I wasn't trying to be funny before that. And I got exposed to this thing called improvisation. It turned out I had a knack for it, and I never dreamed I would work at Second City. I was there for years, you know, in my 20s, and I was doing plays and enjoying that. And I knew what Second City was, but I didn't think I would work there any more than I thought I'd play for the Bears.
Okay.
So the fact that
they could have used you now, man.
Yeah, well, they got one win.
But, that's right.
Yeah, well, again, this is going back to my childhood, the Gail Sayers, Dick Butkus years.
Sure.
Where, oh, my God. They were terrible. Terrible, terrible teams.
Yeah.
The only good news about those teams is they only played 12 games.
Yeah, right. Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. But I'm really grateful for my time in Chicago because it was such a, you know, I could stay at home and gain a lot of experience on stage. And, you know, every once in a while the movies would come through and they'd, you know, there were always some cop roles that had to be played.
Yeah, you played a lot of The Fugitive. I you know, that is one of the most iconically filmed movies with all these iconic buildings and landmarks in Chicago. And I kind of didn't put it together that that was you until I think I was watching Scrubs and Zach Braff's character was watching The Fugitive with you you in it.
I'm not sure that's ever been done by a TV show before.
No, that was brilliant.
Show one of their actors in a clip from a movie that he was actually in. that was very strange. They told me about that. I thought, how the heck is that going to work?
Yeah.
That makes me mean, you know. But and I didn't realize it's one episode of a TV comedy. It's fine. Don't take it too seriously.
Yeah, but it made a connection. Yeah, it made a connection for me anyway.
And that was a good movie. The Fugitive's a really
terrific good movie. Anytime it's on cable, and I, you know, it's on all the time. I, no matter where it is in the movie, I mean, that's a great one to jump into. You know.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those that you. It's like if you come across The Godfather. Okay, I'll watch this.
So you're talking like, you know, you were 40 years old, but in 2009, you landed the role of one of the funniest comedies on television, The Middle. And I will tell you, you know, this is a show, and we don't sit down as a family, and I've talked about this before on the air, we don't sit down as a family and watch a lot of television together. And I've got a 15-year-old, an 11-year-old, a 4-year-old, and there are two shows that we do sit down and watch. There's a few. There's three, actually. But one is Modern Family, and it's The Middle. And my daughter will not get through the week if it's Wednesday, Thursday, and I know you're going to be on Tuesdays now. But that's the one show we actually try to get in front of the TV while it's on live, so not DVR'd, and watch it because we have so much fun watching this family because it is just so real.
That's good to hear. I hear that a lot, and it, you know, makes me feel good. I think the show does a really good job and always has of presenting relatable people. And these people go through things that, you know, we might have, you know, when I was growing up, I understand these people. It's, they don't have much, and they're hoping for the best. You know, they're not so much hoping something great's going to happen. They're just hoping nothing terrible happens.
Right.
Right. And they'll be fine. And I think most people live that way. And the show has stayed on the air and under the radar kind of for this is now our 8th season, and everyone's
it's amazing.
Very grateful to be in that spot. It's a very hard thing to do, to have a show run for that long.
Yeah, but you know, you keep it fresh, though. I mean, even though, you know, you've really gotten to know the characters, and the characters have certainly developed over the years, you've kept it. The show is, it's been very fresh in where it's been going, and it's been very true to, you know, what was established that first season. You know, a lot of these shows, and you know this too, they veer off and do other things, and then they're adding babies and doing all this other crap. This show has just stayed true to this family. You've watched them grow up.
I know. I'll tell you something that I was just talking to the producer yesterday. I honestly believe this. In the last couple of years, I think the show has gotten better.
Yeah.
And the writing has gotten better. The plot developments are, and the situations are funnier and more interesting. And that's a real rarity, I think, in the 8th year of a TV show.
Yeah.
And there's something I kind of figured out one time, if I want to give myself some credit. Adults' lives aren't all that interesting unless you're a bounty hunter or something. Adults pretty much have the same day 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And, you know, and one weekend's the same as the other. But with kids, there's all these milestones in their lives, all these changes, whether it's, you know, prom or getting a driver's license or going to college or getting their first job. So with kids on the show, young people, a lot can happen. And that is happening, in fact. There's Brick is the youngest boy is old enough to get his license and old enough to get a job. And those things may happen in the first few episodes that we filmed here. Axel's got a new girlfriend.
Greer Grammer, right?
Greer Grammer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
A very pretty girl and a very good actress.
Yeah.
And she's good at playing dumb, but she's not dumb at all.
That's awesome. Yeah, I saw some teases on Facebook, and I know, you know, Sue's character spent the summer at Dollywood, so now she's seeing the light of a career for herself.
Yes.
As well. So I love seeing how all this develops. Although I got to tell you, for watching it for 8 years, I feel like the need that I need to like get a campaign together online, like a Fund Me campaign, and get you a new headboard for that bedroom.
I don't even think I could describe it to you. What does it look like? I'm always facing the other way. I don't know what the headboard
is. It looks like an 80s kind of fabric. And I sound like a geek myself, but it's like this 80s fabric headboard. And every time we watch it, my wife goes, gosh, they got to get a new headboard, man. That's really tough to watch.
I'm certain you're right, and it probably is an 80s fabric headboard.
Yeah, it's perfect.
That's the kind of bed they'd have, though.
That's right. That's exactly right. Now,
while we're at it, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
I was going to say, if we're going to change out the headboard, let's also change the foot of the bed, because it's one of those where you'd never know this unless you were on the set, I suppose. It's one of those beds that, for some reason, has sharp corners at the foot of the bed.
Oh.
Like the, you know, the foot board, whatever you call it.
Being a tall guy that you are, yeah.
Will you catch your ankle on the bed frame going around the... we do it all the time when we're shooting a scene in there. Damn it!
See, now we're going to look for that. I'm going to look for that now.
I do. Well, after 7 years, I'm looking for it too, so I've gotten better at avoiding it.
Good for you.
But no, now I'll tell him you mentioned that.
Yeah, please. Yeah, please mention that. Now, for a single camera comedy, you know, so different from your years in theater in front of an audience, and Scrubs was the same way. Are you more comfortable in front of an audience? Does it make you work harder as an actor because you don't have audience reaction? Like, how do you feel about that?
I wouldn't say I'm more comfortable at this point in either situation. It's probably the same because I'm used to both. And these days, I haven't done a play in a long time, but every once in a while I have a improv group that still gets together, and we're doing a show on Saturday, in fact, next. And so I still get the that roar of the crowd feeling every once in a while. It's great. But I think the real adjustment is learning to act for the camera, and yes, without an audience. The sitcom with an audience is a different thing.
It's almost like a play. It is. Yeah.
But the thing is, at least in my experience, maybe things have changed, but there is no schooling that teaches an actor how to act in front of the camera. Most people, young people, you know, you do plays or whatever and then head out to Hollywood at some point to try to be on TV or movies, and you've never been in front of a camera. So there's some things you learn and some maybe, you know, nerves to get over, and some people are good at it and some not. And because it is a different performance than on stage. It's smaller, you know, toned down.
Sure, it is. But you know, you got a great ensemble. I mean, you have some really great, I mean, with Patricia and Charlie and Eden and Atticus, I mean, you've created such a great ensemble on screen that, you know, it must be great to have those people around to play off each other.
Yeah, it really is. When you can trust someone and like them, mm-hmm. believe me, it's very important.
Yeah.
We each episode probably takes, on an average, 60 hours of work, maybe
for 22,
a little bit more.
For 22 sometimes. Minutes, yeah, for 22 minutes, 12-hour days, back-to-back, you bet.
Yeah, I've been asked if we do an episode a day, and go, oh, no.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
But, no, I like these people very much, I'm happy to be able to say, and it would be very difficult if I didn't really like the people, if we didn't like each other, because there's a lot of downtime just in between setups or even takes sometimes. And so we do a lot of kidding around, and we really enjoy each other's company.
That makes
a world of difference.
Maybe
that shows through to some degree.
It does. I think it does. Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
No, you always roll out the red carpet, too, for some pretty cool guest stars and characters. And I'm assuming we'll see a little bit more of that this season, too.
I assume so, yeah. There's I've always enjoyed the ones that we've had, and maybe you have a better list of them than I do, but over time there's been, well, I know, like practically the whole cast of the Mary Tyler Moore Show has popped up. We had Betty White and Ed Asner and so on. But Jerry Van Dyke.
Marion Ross.
I love that he played.
Yeah.
Marion Ross, that's right, yeah. It's always fun to have a good guest star. I think they figured out early, though, not to give too much weight to a guest star's role, because I think they figured out that the core of the show is really the family.
It is, absolutely.
That's why, for instance, she no longer works at the car dealership.
Right.
That was they really they thought, we don't need that.
Yeah, that was on the first couple seasons.
When you're creating a show, though, you think, well, we don't really know what's going to work. Maybe the car dealership would have been funnier and better than the home, and it becomes more of a workplace comedy. But it turned out not to be the case. And so, like, we're hardly ever seeing it work. And, you know, that's okay. I mean, you could try to point that out as something unrealistic, sure. But, you know, what do you want? You don't want to watch the people at work too much anyway.
You're right, because you're working every day. It's just great to see this family environment, because it's just so, as I said, it's so real, and it's so much fun to watch. And I can't believe you're 8 seasons in already, and you can catch the very funny Neil Flynn along with Patricia Heaton and Charlie McDermott, Eden Scherer, Atticus Schaefer on the 8th season premiere of The Middle on ABC. It's this Tuesday, a new night, so catch that. It's a new night, 7 Central on Tuesday on ABC, and of course you can always catch encore presentations of The Middle 5 nights a week on WGN-TV, and we've talked about this before, Neil. You made it to WGN-TV, you know.
That will never stop being a thrill to me. I watched it all my young life, and I'm thrilled that I'm on WGN. I would never dream that would happen.
Very cool. Well, love watching you, and we'll catch a season premiere this week, Neil. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, Dave.
All right. News is next on 720 WGN.